Oh, we're going to have to expect a lot of banging during this segment. They are so scared of this man. They are absolutely terrified of Nikola Tesla. Trust. We got to get this conversation blown up big. And we begin this segment by of our reading of Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time, by asking us to consider what it would mean for the power guys of 1900, folks like the big time financiers and state and heads of state, to discover that Nikola had invented a particle beam weapon and was asking for help scaling it up to put a fast end to conflict because of its awe-inspiring. And we're going to hear today that this was pointed out, and I'm not sure if he pointed this out to Nikola, or Nikola was, I mean, it's pretty obvious, I guess, but we're going to find out today that why do I always space out his name? Mark Twain, I guess, because it's not his real name, but I don't know. That Mark Twain addressed this very point. The fact that, your inventions of war could end war. We're going to be thinking about that. Please think about that. All the unnecessary slaughter of the 20th century, completely set up by these, I don't have a word for these people. It's hard to hold in our heads. Chapter 16, ridiculed, condemned, and combated. Years later, H. Otis Pond, who helped Tesla build his laboratory at Wardenclyffe, said that he disagreed with history's assessment of the two inventors. And this was in 1972 when he said this. So when he talks about history's assessment, I mean, Nikola at this point had only been a few decades in the grave. I think that should be 30 years. But power had begun erasing Nikola well before his death. These guys had collaborated with Marconi to rewrite the history of radio and everything else that Tesla did for them, which he intended to be for us. Their collaboration with Marconi to rewrite the history of radio may be the earliest indication of this. Pond said H. Otis Pond, who had worked for Edison and helped Nikola build the laboratory at Wardenclyffe, said that he disagreed with history's assessment. Edison was the greatest experimenter and researcher this country has produced, but I wouldn't rate him as much of an originator. Tesla, however, he considered the greatest inventive genius of all time. Pond often accompanied Tesla on long walks. They were together on the day in December 1901 when Marconi sent the first transatlantic signal. "Looks like Marconi got the jump on you," he said. "Marconi's a good fellow," replied Tesla. "Let him continue. He's using 17 of my patents." Pond also recalled Tesla's worrying about the instruments of war that he'd been inventing. He had just launched his model wireless torpedoes in the Sound, encircled a ship with them, and landed them on the beach. "Otis," he said, "sometimes I feel that I have not the right to do these things." The inventor's hectic schedule often gave the impression that he was three or four individuals. His New York laboratory had become a meeting place for scientists from all over the world. And we're going to learn in a second that the Pentagon was well represented there. Scientists, and I'm sure the equivalent officials from those other countries, and you can bet that includes Germany and Britain and Russia, most likely. We'll see as we read on. The inventor's hectic schedule often gave the impression that he was three or four individuals. His New York laboratory had become a meeting place for scientists from from all over the world. The nights were filled with social activities, arduous experimental work, the writing of patent applications, professional journal articles, letters to editors, seeing and being seen by the right people. And I have to interject here, only in retrospect and with the additional aid of becoming a target and surviving it long enough to reflect on the experience, sharpening our focus still further, can we clearly see in this story the power guys gearing up to swarm, not just gearing up, swarming, surrounding, containing, and I'm sure they think of it as managing this speed up for multiple reasons, to exploit Nikola Tesla. Now, of course, it's quite obvious that the global shadow state would be all over anyone who could, in 1898, radio control, remote control, boats and submersibles, as described in the following excerpt from chapter 12. I'm beginning to think we should have started further back with chapter 12. It's a really interesting chapter. Quote, Commander E.J. Quinby, USN retired, who during World War II was in charge of electronic weapons research for the Navy, that was where DARPA had been located. I don't know if it still is. And they, of course, had developed their HARP machine, which uses, it resonates different frequencies and plays with different frequencies. And we're going to learn about a little bit, get a slight sense of what's meant by that from Commander Quinby. He's written of visiting Tesla's historic exhibit when he was a child. Quote, I was there with my father, quite fascinated, but also quite unaware that I was witnessing the dawn of space navigation to be realized later in the following century. Tesla was not using Morse code. He was not transmitting messages in any known language. Nevertheless, he was employing his own coded pulses via Hertzian waves to directly control this pioneer unmanned craft. He encoded the visitor's commands, and the vessel's receiver decoded them automatically into actuating operations. The full potential of the invention was concealed, in part because Tesla hoped the Navy would seriously consider using it in the war. One of the features not revealed, science writer Kenneth Sweezy later disclosed, was a system to prevent interference by means of coordinated tuning devices responsive only to a combination of several radio waves of completely different frequencies. I mean, they've been playing with this for over 100 years. And we are yet to demand accountability from them as to what they have been doing with this capacity. Another was a loop antenna which could be completely enclosed by the copper hull of the vessel. The antenna would thus be invisible, and the vessel could operate completely submerged. The inventor did not disclose more than this fundamental ideal in his basic patent, number 6138. Patent number 613809, a means he had learned to use to protect his discoveries. What his patents included, but the Madison Square Garden viewers did not see, were specifications, and try to keep in mind this is 1898. What the Madison Square Garden viewers did not see were specifications for a torpedo boat without crew, including a motor with a storage battery to drive the propeller, smaller motors and batteries to operate the steering gear, still others to feed electric signal lights and to raise or lower the boat in the water. 6 14-foot torpedoes were to be placed vertically in two rows so that when one was discharged, another would fall into place. Tesla had advised the Navy that he thought such a boat could be built for around $50,000. He claimed that a few such craft could attack and destroy a whole armada destroy it utterly in an hour, and the enemy would not have a sight of their antagonists or know what power had destroyed them. Was the Navy interested? Oh, no, no thanks. Do we buy that? Please.